on a hill, far away, stands a cross. But on this hill where the cross is, this cross is not alone. In northern Lithuania, there is a hill which has more than 100,000 crosses on it. If you visited this area, or if you were to pull it up on the internet, as I did, you would find that there are all kinds of crosses. And by all kinds of crosses, I mean that the crosses in this area, they vary in shape, they vary in size, they also vary in design. The history of it is a little uncertain. No one really can point back to a certain date and say that the crosses began to be put on this hill at date X. But we do know, as we look at history, that there have been some times where people have tried to remove the crosses. About 100 years ago, the Russians destroyed several of the crosses on this hill. But then people began to rebuild. By 1922, after the Russians had come in and decimated the crosses on this hill, by 1922, there were only about 50 crosses on this hill. But as they began to rebuild, the year 1995 came. And by 1995, there were 55,000 crosses on this hill again. Back in 2006, the number finally reached 100,000 crosses. And in the last 10 years, in the last decade, 2006 to 2016, thousands more crosses have been added. One of the most powerful symbols in human history that we can point to is the cross. When we see a cross, Jesus may come to mind. Or when we see a cross, death may come to mind. We know as we look at history that dozens, hundreds, yea, thousands of people have literally died on crosses. But out of all the crosses and out of all the deaths that we could point to throughout human history, there is one. Only one which stands above all others, and that is the death of Jesus of Nazareth. One of the most fundamental messages in the Bible is that Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. This morning, a lot of people are thinking about the Lord's resurrection, and that certainly is a common Bible topic. I, though, would like to take our time today and study on a related but different topic, and that is the cross. If you've never thought about the cross, or maybe not thought about the cross recently, or never taken a look at what the Bible says about the cross, it is an eye-opening word. Now, I know that the word cross can mean different things to different people. For some, a cross is little more than an ornament. To them, it is perhaps a nice decoration, or maybe in their eyes, a cross is a piece of jewelry, perhaps a necklace that they really like. For others, as I think about the cross, I find that for them, it is little more than a bumper sticker. They want to have the bumper sticker cross, and they will parade that all around town. In the Bible, though, the cross is not a piece of jewelry. It's not a decoration. It's not a bumper sticker. But in the Bible, as we look at the scriptures, the cross is a word which involves attitudes as well as actions. Paul used the word cross in Philippians 3, verse 18. If you have an outline, you may have already turned to the third chapter of Philippians. And let's see what he told these Christians in conjunction with the word cross. He said, "There are many. There are many who are walked. There are many who live, of whom I told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." When it comes to the word cross, the Bible specifically says that we can be an enemy of the cross. Now, I wish, in some respects, we had some more information about Philippians 3, verse 18. There are some details in this passage that Paul does not give us. For example, who were these enemies of the cross? Were they Christians or were they non-Christians? There's not enough information to extract an answer to that question. We don't know if these enemies of the cross were saved or lost people, or maybe they were people who had become Christians and left the faith. We simply don't have enough data to make that clear. But we do have enough information to conclude that we can be an enemy of the cross. And as I look at Philippians 3, verse 18, we can be an enemy of the cross. One of the questions that comes to my mind is, how does a person become an enemy of the cross? It would seem clear that we don't want to do that. And if we don't want to be an enemy of the cross, how do we avoid that? What are the steps that must be taken to become an enemy of the cross? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in one of his teachings. In the book of John, John chapter 14, verse 15. And then in the next chapter, just flipping the verses around, John chapter 15, verse 14. John 14, 15, John 15, verse 14. In both of those passages, the Lord said basically the same thing. He said if we want to be his friend, if we want to be someone who is not his enemy, the Lord said, "You do what I command." Now, if friends are people who are obedient to God, John 14, verse 15, and John 15, verse 14, then would the opposite not also be true? Friends are people who obey, Those who do not obey must be enemies. We can make that inference. God's friends, then, are not those who have a cross, literally. God's friends are not those who may wear a cross or have a bumper sticker that pictures a cross. We might have a cross stamped on every Bible that we ever own. We might, as we go through life, have some kind of cross decoration, maybe prominently displayed in our home, maybe even on the front door. But the cross, from a Bible perspective, is not something that we see. From God's perspective, the cross is not something that we touch. The cross, John 14:15, 15:14, Philippians 3, verse 18. The cross is about obedience. If we are not obedient to God, we become, this is the default position, we become an enemy of the cross. In our time, we live in a period and in a culture where there is limited emphasis on being obedient to God. Partial obedience, no obedience, but there is a lot of stress on a literal cross. The God of heaven and earth, though, has a message for us when it comes to this word cross. We might be able to buy, find, make the biggest and fanciest cross that has ever been made. And we could hang that around our neck as some do, and we could wear it day in and day out. We might be able to have a religious cross on every religious building in our community. We could have a hill somewhere of 100,000 crosses and maybe more. But not one of those crosses would matter when it comes to God. Not one of those crosses will change or alter or help us when it comes to our relationship with God. Do you remember some words from Jesus long ago? In the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus asked a thought-provoking question. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things which I say?" Today we could ask a similar question. Jesus could have asked this question in our culture. Why display a cross? Why wear a cross and not obey me? The cross, if we open up the Bible, is associated with obedience. From how we become a Christian, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, to how we live, how we worship in spirit and in truth, the cross, literally, as far as a physical object, means nothing without obedience. As we go through life, people are different. We may, as we go through life, never own a single piece of jewelry which is shaped like a cross. We, no matter how many automobiles we own, may never have a bumper sticker which pictures a cross. But I'll tell you this. If we're someone who has opened up the Bible, and we have studied what it says when it comes to the word cross, our lives are going to be radically transformed. And we're going to be different. We're going to be very, very different from almost everybody else around me. I know that from the book of Galatians. Now, if you turn over to the book of Philippians, the book prior to that is the book of Ephesians. The book just before Ephesians is Galatians, and Galatians has six chapters. We want to look at a little something that Paul had to say in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. He also, as he talks to these Christians, refers to the cross. And here's what he says, almost at the end of the book. "But far be it from me to glory, save or accept, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which," he says, "the world hath been crucified unto me, and I unto the world." You see, Paul is saying to the Galatians, when a person understands the cross, when a person decides to truly follow Christ, the cross is going to fundamentally, forever, radically change their life. Before becoming a Christian, we likely follow the same path that just about everybody else is on in the world. As you look at the people who are outside of Christ, they almost always believe the same things. They're almost always living in the same way. And that same way, that same path is the best life is now. People are looking at this world as their home. People are focused on this earth as their home. And what they want, what they're thinking about, what they're emphasizing is life here. The main goal in the life for the non-Christian or someone who doesn't really understand the cross is, I want the best possible job, I want the maximum amount of money, and I want the most pleasure I can get every single day out of my life. The world encourages us to save up, to get all we can so that when we get old, we can retire in style. And we can travel, we can sit back and do what we want, go out and watch the birds or play golf all day, whatever it might be. As we're headed towards that time, the world says, oh yes, work hard during the week. Well, not everybody says that, but some do say that. And then when it comes to the weekend, pursue pleasure. You go ahead and you make your life as enjoyable as it can possibly be because this is where it is. You squeeze as much pleasure, you squeeze as much leisure into your life because we are in it for a very brief period of time. Not long ago, I received an email from a missionary, the wife. She sends me some information for part of the work that we do on the web. And she wanted to tell me about a family that had been converted in a local area. She said, oh, we've got a great family here. She didn't say this, but this would be how I would describe it. They understand the cross of Christ. She said, this family, if you were to look at them, and she sent me a picture, they live in a one-room house. Mom, dad, two kids. Small one-room house. And she said, when it comes to physical prosperity, they have almost nothing. But it didn't need to be that way. The dad in this family was offered a very lucrative job with Microsoft. A lot of money. Good benefits. Especially outside the United States. This would have been the job to have. But the family said, we're not concerned about that. We're not worried about that. We want to take our lives in a different direction. As she unfolded some of the details about this family, she told me that one of the children, prior to the age of 10, had recited the entire 119th psalm in one setting. Now, if it's been a little while since you've looked at that psalm, it has 176 verses. It's a long one. Within the last week or so, the same child, and this child, as far as I know, is an average child, not exceptionally bright, not certainly dumb, or ignorant in any way, but an average child. And the child was in the process of, in one setting, sitting down and reciting the entire book of Hebrews. You see, when it comes to the cross, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul is telling us in this passage that the cross comes with an attitude. And the attitude is, what matters to me in this life, what really matters to me, is Christ and my living for Him. When we understand the cross, we begin to realize and live in a way where we say, this world is not my home. And not only is this world not my home, I refuse to live in a manner which says that this world is my home. The cross, when people begin to understand what it is and what's involved with it, it begins to shift the priorities of life. It begins to alter the attitudes. It changes actions. It transforms lives. A person is never the same when he or she really begins to comprehend the cross of Christ. Now, somebody says, well, I need to work. I need to support a family. And I have some obligations now and in the future. And there's some necessities of life. All those things need to be dealt with. The Bible recognizes that. But the real emphasis, the real stress when we look at the word cross is that the heart is to be focused on God and on what's eternal. Those who are interested in the cross reason, and correctly so, this world can keep what it has. It can keep what it has. What the world has is passing away, and I want what's eternal. What I desire most from life is not here. My hopes, my goals, my dreams, my desires, they are really rooted in the cross. Now, I have to deal with some things in this life along the way, but here is where my life is really based. In the cross. In the cross. Remember those words that we sing sometimes? In the cross is to be where our hopes, our life, and our greatest desires are. Now, the world hears that, and they say, well, you're just crazy. You're nuts. You're off your rocker. Paul recognized that because in that book of Galatians where we just were, Galatians chapter 6, if you back up one chapter and you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul once again picks up this word cross and he says, let me tell you how some people view it in the world. He says, those who are outside of Christ, they may view the word cross as a stumbling block. And Paul was exactly right in numerous ways. The Bible, and certainly as we go through life, we find that people regard the cross as objectionable. Oh, if it were to come to a piece of jewelry, the world says, we're fine with that. We like crosses. We'll wear crosses. We might have a bumper sticker of a cross in our vehicle. If there's a movie that comes out about the cross, we'll go see the movie. We'll be glad to go. We'll give a good review to the movie. We're enthusiastic about these kinds of things. If we are on a major interstate, and this has happened to us, and I assume several others have had the experience, you're driving by, and in the distance, maybe as much as 5 or 10 miles out, you see this giant structure jutting off on one side of the interstate. That's a cross. And people say, wow, look at that cross. Let's stop. Let's get a picture. I want my picture beside the cross. People turn sometimes a cross into a tourist attraction. The real story of the cross, the real story of the cross, seeing for what it is missed, greatly misunderstood by the majority of the people. Sometimes we sing another song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Truer words have never been penned. If we really understand the basic message about the cross and apply it, the cross, Christ, will be the focus of our life. Backing up a little bit. From the book of Galatians, moving back to another book that Paul penned, this would be the book of 1 Corinthians. In the first chapter of that letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul calls the Corinthians' attention to the word cross. And Paul there said, I want to tell you that with some people, the cross is a foolish message. And Paul said, for the people who see the cross as a foolish message, he said, they perish. They're going to be destroyed. Heaven's not going to be their home. I feel very confident in saying that there will be some people who spend eternity in hell, but they owned at least one cross. And how ironic that will be. Have you ever thought about that? Imagine a person who has been eternally separated from God, and as they reflect back on their life, they think, oh, I had a Bible as I was in life. And on my Bible, there was a cross. And that Bible, maybe they had every Bible stamped with a cross. And maybe not just stamped with a cross, but they said, oh, I went for the deluxe version. My cross was stamped in 14 karat. And then as I bought that Bible with the 14 karat gold cross stamped into it, I also picked up a bumper sticker that day and I put that in a prominent place on my car. And then maybe it was that same day, maybe even prior to that time, I bought that really nice cross necklace and I wore that. I wore that openly, and I felt so good about my wearing the cross. And then I was in that store, maybe it was a religious bookstore, maybe it was another place. Maybe it was even a garage sale. And I saw this crown of thorns, and inside this crown of thorns there was a cross. And I bought that. And I put that crown of thorns slash cross in a prominent place in my home. And then I had another cross. That cross was hanging from my rearview mirror. When I went down the road, people saw my cross dangling. Or as people rode with me, they saw my cross. Maybe there will be some people in hell who will be able to look back and say, when it came to displaying a cross, I was heads and shoulders above everybody else I knew. I was surrounded by crosses. The irony of owning several crosses and spending eternity in hell. What a thought. Owning a cross means nothing. Owning a dozen crosses means nothing. Owning a hill, visiting a hill where there are more than 100,000 crosses means nothing. Displaying a cross means nothing. The word cross, as we look at the scriptures, describes a specific kind of life and a specific kind of attitude. Now somebody might say, well, all that sounds pretty interesting, but could you offer a specific Bible verse which really sort of brings all that together? Okay. Let's see what the scriptures say. Luke chapter 9. If you've been following along, you may have already headed over to this particular place. In Luke, we have a few passages which use the word cross. In Luke 9, though, verse 23, Jesus here specifically uses the word cross. And in giving this teaching, Jesus makes it clear that what he's saying about the cross is for all people. He uses the word all. And in conjunction with the word all, he also uses the word if. By using the word all, he shows the universal nature of the teaching. By using the word if, he implies that not everybody, even though it's open to all, not everybody is going to pick up the cross and follow him. Let's see what he says in that 23rd verse. And he said unto all, if, there's our condition, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Do you remember how this sermon started? On a hill, far away. Northern Lithuania, there are more than 100,000 different kinds of crosses. Now, as I gave you that information, I didn't tell you something. I omitted a detail and I left it out on purpose. I'm told that those different crosses on that hill are different for a reason. They are different to symbolize, and listen carefully, they are different to represent different Christian traditions. In other words, this is your cross. This is the way that you want to approach God and Christ. This is your cross. This is the way that you want to go. And everybody has their own little variation when it comes to Christianity. Now, that sounds pretty diplomatic. That sounds pretty inclusive. Unfortunately, though, different Christian traditions, that's information contrary to the Bible. We do not get to make up our own cross. We don't get to create our own version of the cross. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus implies that the cross is a prefab cross. God has already created it. Now, if we were to make up our own cross, think about that for just a moment. How would you make up your cross? Wouldn't you make it as easy as you possibly could? For some people, if they were given the option of making up their own cross, they might say, well, that I don't like that idea, so if it's up to me, I'm not going to have a cross at all. God doesn't give us that right. He's given us his cross. And Jesus says, let me tell you something about my cross that you need to take up daily. He said, it is a cross of denial. There are going to be some things that you need to change out and alter, as we saw from Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. And also, when he talks about this cross, he says, we need to pick it up. We need to pick it up daily. We can't have mom or dad or grandma or grandpa pick up our cross. We can't have the local preacher in a congregation pick up our cross. Jesus, when he says pick it up daily, this isn't something that we put on Sunday morning and say, we've picked up our cross. We're going to go out the door, and then after we get back home, after we leave, the assembly will take it off. God's cross comes with that attitude. And that attitude is that we're committed 100% when it comes to Christ. There is no, I'm sort of a faithful Christian in the Bible. We are either on or off. We're either with him or against him, as Jesus once said. We're faithful or we're unfaithful. Now, as we pick up that cross and we try to live for Christ every single day, we may not like some of what happens to us as a Christian. When we begin to think about a Christian and what it means, we might be for our faith unfairly treated. There may be some times as we're trying to live the Christian life that our feelings are hurt. And they're hurt badly. Maybe they're hurt a lot. As we try to live that Christian life and take up that cross, we may have some people who hate us. We lose some friends. There may be some horrible things that are said about us. We might be physically attacked. We might suffer a permanent injury. And it's also possible that we may die. The cross of Christ comes with some splinters. If nobody's ever explained that to you, that's what I hope you walk away with today. The cross of Jesus Christ comes with some splinters. And the splinters that come from the cross of Christ, sometimes they create some deep wounds. Sometimes they create some lasting wounds. And if you have picked up the cross of Christ, if you at some point as a young person will pick up the cross of Christ, then know this, be prepared to bleed. If you're going to bear the cross of Christ, you will bleed. And you're not going to bleed just once or twice. You're probably going to bleed many, many times. It is a painful life in some ways. But the Bible says the benefits of that pain far outweigh what we face. The cross of Christ is completely worth it because there is a resurrection. Jesus bore his cross. He died. And on the third day, thank God, he was raised. The Bible affirms also that one day we're going to be raised. And when we meet the Lord, and all of us will, we will be in one of two categories: prepared, saved, unprepared, and lost. When the end of time comes, if we have been accountable for our actions, the question will be, did we pick up the cross of Christ? Were we obedient and thus a friend of God? John 15, verse 14. Did we carry that cross every single day till our dying day? And God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The cross of Christ, it is there. It is available for every single person. And the question is, have we picked it up? And are we trying to faithfully carry it every single day? Somebody says, I've not picked it up, but I want to. I've heard. I believe, and I know with that self-denial, there is repentance there. I'm ready to confess that Christ is going to be my Lord, and I want to be joined to him. Be baptized. For the forgiveness of your sins, pick up that cross, Acts 2, verse 38, and then continue to the best of your ability. Follow him every single day, regardless of the cost. The cross of Christ. What's our relationship to it right now? And does that relationship need to be corrected? Those are the questions that we're asking as we stand and sing.